Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. Yes, I was here for the last 3 hours, so it's not much different for me, but if for whatever reason you're just tuning in at 10, welcome. Sam's here with me. Sam, you a little bit more relaxed than you were when we started today?
100%.
Good. And John's not here to bother you, so things should be better for you.
You know, I had nightmares. I kid you not, I had a nightmare during, about me producing and that everything just went wrong. And I woke up in the middle of the night because I was so anxious.
So stressed.
I was so stressed.
You hadn't done it in a while, so that makes some sense. But you've been great. You've been great handling what John has to say, running the board. We're good. And just less than 2 hours to go.
Yeah, Sean, you're fired. I'm taking
it.
Well,
we don't make those rules. Someone else does. Sean Mapes, who's been out all week. AJ filled in for him yesterday and Monday. And Sam's doing a great job today. She's feeling better. We're all good as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving and the long weekend. The Rockets played last night. They got a game tonight as well against the Sixers. Second night of a back-to-back. I talked about it yesterday that last night would be important, and they were great for, let's say, 30 minutes or so. For the first two quarters and then halfway through the third, they look like they're going to have a pretty comfortable win. Dylan Brooks had a good night shooting the ball. Jabbar Smith was great from the field, and then one of those patented Rockets really droughts happened. They went 6-plus minutes without scoring a field goal. I think it might have gotten to 7. As the Timberwolves slowly chipped away. The Timberwolves didn't shoot the ball that well. So it took a while to get back in it. The Rockets had a giant lead in that game, and it felt like they were going to run away with it, and they didn't. It's just how they play. They'll drag you into the mud defensively because of how good they are and how competitive they are, and then there will be times where their offense just falls apart. But it didn't matter in overtime. They hit an 11-0 run, pulled away from the Timberwolves, and won that one, 117-111. So credit to them. The Timberwolves needed that one. They're at home. It was an NBA Cup night. The Rockets have won their group, so they advanced there. Credit to them for doing that. And the way they play, night to night, they got a shot to win it. I mean, I know it's the NBA Cup. How important is it? But it'd be nice to see them play in a real competitive environment in Vegas to see if they can go win something. This young team doesn't have a lot of accolades. The guys who have been here for 4 years now have a lot of losing on their resume. So going out there and playing well, being 13-6 and possibly getting to go to Vegas, or at least going to Vegas and possibly winning, that's pretty cool for them. So we'll see how that transpires. Like I said, a game against the rested Sixers team, who's going to be available for them tonight? That's going to play a big part in whether the Rockets can go sweep this back-to-back. A lot of minutes for those guys. Dylan Brooks played 40. Şengün played 40 plus. Brooks as well with 41. Fred VanVleet played 45. Jabari played 38. The one guy who is not like the others is Jalen Green. He didn't play a lot of minutes. He didn't shoot the ball well, which we're getting more and more accustomed to game by game. And this is Ime's thing. He's at a point, this team is at a point where I don't have to lean on you if you're not playing well. Şengün went through it earlier this season. Jalen Green last night wasn't a great matchup. So he was effectively benched for the better part of that fourth quarter in overtime. And the Rockets pulled through. Amen Thompson was great. That play when they were down by two, he got a rookie in a situation where Rob Dillingham got a little ahead of himself. He had a good night filling in for Mike Conley. He didn't start, but he was a spark plug for the Wolves. DiVincenzo lost his minutes, and Dillingham played 24 plus 26 on the night. But Amen Thompson got him. 102-100 about 40 seconds ago, and Thompson just gets the young rook hurried and harried, and he took the ball away, led to a transition bucket that made the game 102-102, and they went into overtime after Anthony Edwards missed a runner that would have won the game for him. So one of the Terra Twins had a great night. Tari didn't shoot the ball well, so his minutes were reduced. But the accolades for Amen Thompson continue to come. You just type in his name from last night, and there's so many videos about what he is and what he can be. I'm not sure what he is. I don't think he's a point guard, at least a traditional one, certainly. Can he be someone who is a ball handler in situations where you don't have a true point guard on the court? I think so. But what he provides stretches beyond just the ball handling and his potential to distribute. He's just a point of attack defender, if you want him to be that, who makes it really tough on anyone to initiate offense. And if you get loose with the basketball around him, he's going to take it. Four steals last night, three blocks, 15 points, and eight rebounds. Stat sheet stuffer is what they would call him back in the 90s, and that's a guy who is invaluable to what the Rockets do. No matter what is happening around him, whether you're getting good performances from your backcourt or not, that's a dude who you can lean on to contribute. You don't run plays for him, but he can get to the basket if you just put the ball in his hand. You got a smaller defender on him. He can bully that guy to the rim. We've talked about it before, but Rafael Stone and his picks, he hits on him. And it's funny that the highest potential guy, at least the one we thought had the highest potential, is the one that might be a miss. Yeah, you know, Ty didn't work out, Garuba didn't work out. They were bottom of the first round type guys. But the mid-round pick, the mid-round guy like Şengün, Tari Eason, and, you know, Amen Thompson was a top 10 pick. Jabari Smith has his moments as a top 5 pick as well. Those guys you like. We can not talk about trade stuff right now as far as what they might bring back. But as far as just players that the Rockets lean on, great. The one guy we're still waiting for is Jalen Green. But 13-6, this Rocket team is a fun watch. They're not fun to play against. If you are an opponent or a fan of another team, you don't want to see the Rockets in your building. They muck up everything you want to do. They make your team and their half-court offense a disaster. Wolves fans wound up booing the Wolves at one point in that game. I think it was DiVincenzo threw a loose pass, and Jalen Green stole it, dunked it, and the boos came out. I think that may have put the Rockets up by 10 at that point. That's what they do to teams. They are molded in the identity of their coach. They don't back down. We know last year they got into, it's NBA fights, they're not real, but they got into shoving matches with, it felt like everyone in a stretch where night after night someone was getting a T or someone was being separated by refs. Just another part of why you don't want to play them. It is nice to see this team find ways to win when they can't shoot the basketball well, and it's been kind of the formula for them throughout the year. So they get a big one in Minnesota against what is assumed to be a contender. Minnesota's now 8-9 on the year, but the expectation is they'll get it together because they have Anthony Edwards. But didn't matter last night. The Rockets get that one. So 13-6, they got the Sixers tonight. Got a real chance to get 8 games over 500 and continue what has been a great start to the year. Is this a 50-win team? They're certainly on pace to do it. which would be a big time accomplishment. Think about what this team was in February of last year and how they've turned it around since that point. I don't know if you want to call it the influence of Emay completely, but he's going to get a lot of credit. And we're talking about Coach of the Year stuff right now. If this non-playing team from a year ago is battling for a top four seed in the West, Emay Udoka is going to get big-time Coach of the Year consideration. And it adds to it that this team is likable. Forget about them being in this city and why we would like them. The rest of the NBA world likes this Rockets team. Shingun is a popular player. Amen Thompson is. Tar Eason. This is the team who a lot of people are fans of, which is a departure from what it was really during the Daryl Morey era and into Steven Silas' time when they're a bad basketball team. I don't think the Rockets have ever been more likable nationally. And it's going to lead to favorable opinions, favorable talk, and at some point being rewarded with postseason accomplishments. We'll see if it translates into postseason success on the court, but nothing but good things to say about them and what they did fighting back from a deficit where I thought this game was over, but not for them. Okay. From the Rockets, we will move to the Astros. We know about the Bregman offer. That isn't enough, at least for Bregman right now. We'll get into what Dana Brown said about a potential Verlander return. He spoke to Buster Olney. We'll have that when we come back. Is Verlander a real option for the Astros as they try to strengthen a team which seems to be leaking talent? And it's been a thing over the last 5 years or so. They've been able to overcome it. But this offseason is a big one. You've got stalwarts like Bregman potentially on the verge of leaving. And then Verlander, whatever you may think of what he was last year, that's a name we've been able to count on, at least expect to be part of this team for years now. That might be done or not. We'll hear from Dana Brown when we come back.
Turn down for what?
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you needed more evidence that Sean's not here, what's this? What is this? I know what it is, but why?
What do you don't like it?
It's just out of the blue. I didn't expect to hear Lil Jon today. Sam is running the board and producing for us today. So I just got texted by my mother. She likes to text me during the show, but it isn't about the show. She's asking me about Thanksgiving stuff. Sam, what's your role when it comes to Thanksgiving? Are you a cook? Are you an errand runner? What does the family ask you to do at this time of the year?
I'm a cook.
What's your specialty?
Well, I don't cook by myself. Like, I help my mom.
Okay.
So we'll make green bean casserole.
I'm out.
No?
I know a lot of people like it. It's just not my thing.
That's like my favorite dish. What is wrong with
one
you?
Surprisingly enough, we're different on things. That's one of the things. So you're a green bean casserole person.
You're
what
a
else?
Turkey person, aren't
no,
you?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay.
I am making hot honey chicken instead of turkey for myself. Yeah. I'm in on that this Thanksgiving.
You like cranberry sauce?
I'm a yams and mac and cheese person. You want to give me a roll? I'm good.
Can we get to the yams?
Yeah, that's my thing. So, green bean casserole. What else is...
We make ham as well. We make mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. I can't think of anything else. Okay. We're pretty basic, I'm not going
to
lie.
What's the protein? You tried to insult me by saying I'm a turkey person. So, what are you eating?
We just eat ham.
Okay.
We'll bring in a turkey, but no one really eats it. It's too dry.
Yeah,
it's gross.
See? There are places where you can go get yourself a Cajun fried turkey like Demerit's. I'm not sure you can still do that. But yeah, I'm not a turkey person either. Keep it off my plate.
Do you cook?
I'm doing the cooking with the chicken and the mac and cheese and the yams, yeah.
Are you good?
I think I'm fine. I won't say I'm good. I'm fine. One's getting food poisoning, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm at the point where I'd be like, hey, I'm bringing a dish. I don't know if I'm doing that to a public, like a friend's giving or something like that. But for me, I'm not pushing the plate away, so I'm good.
What all do y'all bring?
Well, it depends. If I go someplace, I'm probably bringing like a pie. Not that I made it. I'll just buy it from some spot.
Kind of pie?
I'm a sweet potato pie person. I don't like warm fruit, so I'm out on apple and all the other things and peach cobbler. Yeah, I know it's a controversial opinion, but I don't like warm fruit. I don't like the texture, so I'm out on that.
I don't like pecan pie.
I love pecan pie, but it's behind sweet potato. Just throw some ice cream on any pie, and I'm pretty good, except if it has fruit in it. I don't like it.
That makes sense.
And I'm from the South, which is crazy, because peach cobbler is a big thing. At least my parents are, well, my mom is, and a lot of my family, so that's a big thing. Around the holidays, a peach cobbler, but I'm out. I don't like it.
I still can't believe you don't like green bean casserole.
I've had it.
You're actually wild.
I don't like the texture. Get it out of my face. No. That's all. Everyone's welcome to eat what they want, but don't put it on my plate. I like to make my own plate, but if someone's like, hey, like, you know, your aunties will say, hey, can I make you a plate? Like, yes, but keep the green bean casserole off my plate. That's all. And we're good. If you do put it on my plate, and if you made it, so you're trying to guilt me into it,
I'm gonna bring you some, and I'm not even gonna like it's. I'm just gonna tell you.
How you gonna
eat it.
Sneak green bean casserole by me?
I'm gonna tell you, hey. But actually, no, I'm not gonna tell you how I'm gonna do it because then you're gonna expect it.
Yeah, there's no way you're gonna put a plate in front of me and me not ask, hey, what is this? Why did you bring me food? And do you think I'm gonna eat this?
Yeah, I won't tell you how I'm gonna do it. Just watch.
That sounds a little odd. You're going to try to sneak green bean casserole into my system. Okay, we'll see how you work that out.
You know how people disguise cake?
Yes, and yes. You're gonna cut it up. I'm gonna think, hey, it's yams. It's gonna look like yams, but it's green bean casserole. Yeah. If you're that type of talented, I will eat the green bean casserole if you can fool me that way. Okay,
fine.
So you're a cook, green bean casserole. That's one of your specialties. So maybe Jeremy Pena likes green bean casserole.
Maybe he does.
He's at your church occasionally.
I'm not going to say what church.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Does your church have potlucks where you might bring something to the church?
Well, I just started going there, so I don't know.
Did you go there because you knew he was a member?
No.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay.
He was just like a very nice addition that I found out about later.
I hope the Astros make a nice addition. But he was a nice addition to the roster at the church. So yeah, I'm sure that was a nice surprise to see Jeremy Pena walk in. You said CJ Stroud was there on Sunday as well. So is that the young Houston athlete church now?
Well, it's the young adults. So every Tuesday night we have young adults.
Does your youth pastor wear Jordans?
I think he has. Yeah, he's pretty young.
It's part of the uniform.
He's actually really cool.
I'm
funny.
Not saying he's not. Of course, that's part of it too. He's got to be a little funny, got to be a little cool, and you got to have the Jordans on. Is he a swag beast? Does he love him? Is he a guy? If you look at him, he goes to a special shoe store for his kicks.
Yeah, he dresses really cool.
Yeah,
he dresses nice.
It's part of the uniform for the youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So Pena, Stroud, any Rockets show up yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Be on the lookout.
No, I'm not going to be on the lookout.
Wait till Amon Thompson gets there.
No.
all right. I mentioned additions. This guy's been around. Justin Verlander. Is he going to be an Astro coming up here? I don't feel like it's likely, but Dana Brown's not ruling it out. He talked to Buster Olney on a podcast, and here is the latest on the possibility of Justin Verlander returning to the Houston Astros.
Guys, on Sunday Night Baseball in September, it was pretty clear he wants to continue to pitch. Where do you guys stand with Justin?
Yeah, funny that you asked me that because I talked to Mark Pieper yesterday. JV has had an unbelievable career here. That guy, he takes the ball. You know, of course, he had an up and down year this year because he wasn't as healthy. But he's done so many good things here. And so, you know, we've had conversations with his agent, you know, and just to try to fill him out. And, you know, so I could say that I don't know if there's been a lot of progress, but, you know, we're having conversations.
And you saw in him this, I mean, in your time since you've been general manager, is this sort of the impact on a pitching staff he has?
Yeah, I mean, just his presence, you know, and his competitive nature and what he does, you know, when he takes the ball. You know, as I said, it was unfortunate that he ran into a couple of injuries this year, but, you know, you're looking at a guy that he's a warrior on the mound, and He's going to make the guys around him better. He's going to make the guys in the clubhouse better and the dugout better because he brings multiple things to the table. And so, you know, if he continues to work and he's healthy, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes and, you know, how much he gets.
Justin Verlander, well, at least a discussion about him, Dana Brown, with Buster Olney. I didn't really take into consideration the intangible thing. What is turning into a young pitching staff would need, and maybe a veteran being around along with Fromber would be helpful. Fromber's another guy we have to worry about. Not this year, but are the Astros going to give Fromber an extension, an older pitcher? It's not generally what they do. Giving money to older players, particularly ones that are on the roster, unless their name is Justin Verlander, they've been willing to give him more money. Will that be the case for Fromber? It's a time of transition. I don't believe the window is as open as they would like you to believe, particularly if Bregman is going to walk out that door. They've got real important decisions to make about what they want to be going forward. And I say this, and I ask, and well, at least I talked to Sean about this either last week or the week before about, I think it was last week, about the Dodgers and how they are trying to extend their window. And they're doing it much differently. They've been a division winner, I think 11 out of 12 times since 2013. They got the two World Series titles. They've been the best team in the National League for years. I know we hate them, but they've been really good. And they want to be good, I guess, for the next decade too. Blake Snell, now a Dodger. They brought in Ohtani. Does Blake Snell preclude them from going after a big-time position player? Probably not, because the coffers for the Dodgers seem bottomless, and they're not worried about paying the tax. We know the Texans. We know the Astros don't operate this way. But you would like them to make a move to keep one of their own and then make an addition, because it has become an either-or scenario right now, where if Bregman stays, then they may be looking at first base on a discount. And if Bregman goes, then they may look to spend money at first and then use maybe Whitcomb at third. It doesn't seem like a lot of people are saying they're going to make the Bregman move and then go add a big-time player at first as well. The numbers will tell you Jim Crane spends a lot of money, but with Verlander coming off the books, if you want this window to stay as open as you are telling us, it shouldn't just end with Bregman. You've got questions on that pitching staff too. I hope the money backs up the mouth at this point. So we'll see about that going forward. We'll get to some Texans news regarding their opponent. Doug Peterson spoke about the potential availability of Trevor Lawrence. He has been out for a while now. The projection was, or at least they were thinking, he'd be back after their bye. They had their bye. Will he play against the Texans? We'll talk about what Doug Peterson said, and does it matter with the Texans? Or maybe the Texans are beating themselves more than any other team is beating them. So we'll get to that when we come back. I just surprised Sam. Are we ready? All right. I'll talk to you guys on the other side.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I didn't mention it, but if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We'll get to the CFP rankings and what it means and the SEC threat that seems to be hanging over the committee's head. We had Josh Pate on with myself and John earlier, and he thinks that's real, that the thought of the SEC dipping if they don't get enough teams might be a reason why a three-loss SEC team gets in, when maybe if there wasn't that type of pressure, their resume wouldn't be enough. So that's unfortunate that a potential championship could be determined by the SEC's threat. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I mentioned before we went to break, the Jags and the Texans. Trevor Lawrence was back at practice on Monday. Today and Thursday will be the big days. If he's available, whether it be limited or full, then expect to see Trevor Lawrence back for the Jags against the Texans. The Texans, despite losing in embarrassing fashion at home against the Titans, they're a dominant road team in the AFC South. They don't lose. They have not lost an AFC South road game since 2021 at Indy. That's 9 consecutive games. So you're talking about David Culley, Lovie Smith, and D'Amico Ryans all being winners on the road. Tyrod Taylor won games for them. Davis Mills won games for them. Case Keenum won games for them. And, of course, CJ Stroud did. So can that continue? It should. But then I thought they weren't going to lose at home to the Titans. I think they'll bounce back. I don't think we're talking about this in an embarrassing run down the stretch. Because if they lose on Sunday, then it gets ugly. They go into a bye feeling pretty terrible about themselves at 7-6. And then they come out of a bye potentially against 3 teams in back-to-back weeks that are really in the playoff race. Some of what that game will be against the Dolphins will be determined by where the Dolphins are and how they play tomorrow and how they play against the Jets, because there is a possibility that the Dolphins drop a couple, then guys who need surgery are getting those surgeries and are out for the year. That was a potential report. Actually, it was a report by someone who covers the team that a lot of their veterans going into that Rams game on Monday night were considering getting surgeries that would have ended their year if not for the win. So they won that game. They won 3 in a row. So they still feel like they're in the race. So you could be at 7-6 going against one of the hotter teams of football, and then the Chiefs and the Ravens follow. That don't feel great. So let's get to 8-5, take a breath, and see if you can fix things during the bye. We know their second half offense is bad, and this is courtesy of Landry Locker. He tweeted this. In 12 games this season, the Texans offense has failed to score a second half TD 6 times. In Davis Mills and his 11 starts as a rookie in 2021 under Culley, the Tim Kelly offense failed to score a second half TD 6 times all year long. And the Texans have already matched it with CJ Stroud and a fully formed Nico Collins now that he's back, Tank, Joe Mixon. That's how bad it's been. It's worse than a Davis Mills led offense accomplished. That's got to change. The Jags, as I talked about yesterday, made Sam Darnold's life miserable. And we'll get to some Vikings news here shortly as they have tried to strengthen their quarterback situation. But they're capable. They have a front that they've invested quite a bit in. We know about Walker and Hines, Allen. They've got dudes. They're not as strong at defensive tackle as the Titans are, but their pass rushers are better. And the Titans gave the Texans interior all they wanted and probably more than they wanted. So, unfortunately, the Jags have something that will test a Texans' weakness, and they also have receivers, particularly if Trevor Lawrence can play, that will test the Texans' other big weakness. Brian Thomas and Christian Kirk are guys who will be a problem if the Texans are going to lean into putting safeties against slot receivers. I don't really expect that to change. I don't know that they have an answer at corner. Hell, Jeff Okuda wasn't even active on Sunday. One of their alleged upgrades in the offseason, after coming back from injury, wasn't active on Sunday against the Titans. So expect a lot of Murray and Ward, which has proven to be a bad answer for the Texans so far. I don't know if I want to say they're stuck in their ways. I think they just may be stuck because of roster construction. I don't know if they have an option unless there's an unnamed corner that is actually going to get a chance to play corner in nickel situations. I'm thinking about just the NFL overall, thinking about going across the league. Who are all these safeties? Who are all these box safeties being lined up against good receivers in the slot? You don't see a lot of it because it's always a bad matchup. And yet we consistently see the Texans in that situation. I'd ask for that to change. We'll see if they've evaluated themselves enough over the course of the week to say, we can't do that again. Or maybe the bye, when you start to self-scout and you have time, leads to that conclusion. It feels like it's been pretty obvious all year long. So Texans-Jags this Sunday, a real possibility that the Jags have their starting quarterback back. And we'll see how the Texans injury situation goes and kind of plays out throughout the rest of the week. They'll be back at practice today. When we come back, we'll talk some college football and we'll get into the CFP. Who's where, what it might mean going forward. It's me, it's Sam. If you want in, 713-780-3776, we'll be back. But first, I want to talk about super happy, incredible toys. In fact, we got toys out there right now for Skeleton Crew, the new Disney Plus series. They sent pop-up, those pop toys, those Funko toys. They're here. You can find stuff like that at Super Happy Incredible Toys. They're a great nostalgic toy shop and a memorabilia shop in the Heights. But what they're doing on Sunday is pretty cool. They're teaming up with St. Arnold Brewery for their annual toy and pop-up show. It is something they do there, and they want you to come out Sunday. And not only will you get to check out the great toys and the great art by locals, you'll also have a chance to take part in what St. Arnold provides. That means great beer. That means great food. It's going to be a good time. It's free admission, free parking. All you got to do is show up. If you show up there, you got a chance to have a great Sunday. You want to get out and about after the Thanksgiving holiday? Why not go there? It's going to be a good time. They've done it for a couple years now. And if you go there, you get your picture with Santa. Maybe you want a picture with Santa. Maybe you don't want it, but you want to take a picture with your kid there. That'll be there from 12 to 4. That's courtesy of Comicpalooza CP365. So you got the pictures with Santa. You can go check out the Christmas Toy Show and Art Market at St. Arnold. That is at 2000 Lyon Avenue. St. Arnold Brewery will provide the parking. Like I said, admission free. So check out the art, check out the toys, and check out the food and the great beer at St. Arnold Brewery, December 1st, 2024, Sunday. The annual Christmas Toy Show and Art Market. Super happy, incredible toys. Teaming up with St. Arnold. It'll be a good time if you head on out there.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're not going to do what you should watch, mostly because Michael Carroll's not here. We would normally do that to end the week at 11:30. He's not here. He's on vacation, much like Sean is. But as far as what to watch, I watched Dune Prophecy. The second episode, it airs on Sunday nights in the HBO Prestige time slot. It's pretty good. If you guys watched, not Vikings, but I got to remember the show. But there's a lead, and he's a chaos agent in this show. It's the only reason I'm still interested. If you watch Dune, it's about the women who kind of manipulate the Empire to make sure. The Timothy Chalamet character winds up, Paul Atreides winds up as the ruler and the leader. It's about those women and the foundation of what they started. And they're doing their thing. They're doing all the palace intrigue stuff. So it is a more hard sci-fi version of like Game of Thrones. You'll have some unexpected deaths, like people dying that you think are going to be main characters, not to the level of Ned Stark, but it's kind of in that vibe where you won't have a lot of big set pieces like Dune just because it's a TV show. You're not going to have these giant wars or really see the sandworms, but you'll see all the conversations in small rooms, but people with kind of like mystical powers. So it's not bad. That's episode 2 aired on Sunday. It ain't The Penguin. The Penguin may be one of the best shows of the year. I'm not sure Dune Prophecy is going to get there, but I would say check it out. It has a lot of faces you're going to recognize, even if you don't know the names of them. Like Travis Fimmel's in it. He's the guy I was talking about. He was in Vikings. He was Ragnar Lothbrok. If you remember Vikings that aired on, I think it might have been Bravo, maybe it was AMC, I don't remember. So I think it's on Netflix right now. He was Ragnar. He's playing the role of the Chaos Agent that you can check out in that. Pretty good. I would say give it a shot. I think episode one is not as good as episode two, but the conclusion of episode one certainly got me to say, okay, I'll give episode two a chance. So I watched it last night. It's pretty good. So check that out. And while Michael's not here, I do want to tell you, anytime we're talking TV, it is brought to you by Super Happy Incredible Toys. You can go to their Facebook page or go to their Instagram. Just check them out. It's simple. Type in Super Happy Incredible Toys, and you'll find them on Instagram. And if you're a person who likes what I like when we talk about television, all the things we talk about on television, they have like toys and action figures to make you happy. It's in the title. So go check them out. As I said, they're in the Heights, and they're at 221 East 11th Street in the Heights. And they have like a vintage feel. The guys will let you walk in, just kind of browse until you find something you want. And they get some of their donations from people around the city. It's a very friendly, family-friendly, like city, local vibe. And you can check, like I said, you can check out their Facebook page or go to their Instagram and see what they have to offer. Love that they're part of what we do here. Okay, I mentioned the CFP. We'll get to that here. We'll probably talk about it in the second hour too. The rankings came out yesterday. No real changes other than Indiana dropping. They dropped to 10th after their loss to Ohio State. And because of what happened in the SEC, particularly from morning to night, I think it started at 11. I think the Ole Miss Florida game was 11 o'clock, and then at least our time, and then went on till Auburn beat Texas A&M. We got a possibility that we only get three SEC teams in. Texas and Georgia feel like locks no matter what happens the rest of the way. Tennessee, if they don't lose to Vanderbilt, they're in. And the question will be, are the Aggies the fourth? If the Aggies can win the SEC title, they're in. That would be a likely four spot for the SEC, which would calm them down and make them pretty happy. Of course, this is all their own fault. Ole Miss was in line. Alabama was in line until they lose to Florida. Ole Miss did, and Alabama loses to Oklahoma. And then you had the Aggies, as I mentioned, losing to Auburn. Now you got an opportunity where it's being talked about right now on ESPN that the ACC might get two teams, whether it be Clemson, who could make the ACC title game if Miami loses to Syracuse, or it could be Miami and SMU. SMU already in the title game, even with one more game in conference to play. Miami has to beat Syracuse to get there. The question will be, if there is a three-loss SEC team waiting in the wings, would they punish an ACC team for being in their conference title game? Because right now, the ACC has two teams in the bracket with two very winnable games coming up. So if they play each other, that would be a top 10 matchup. Are you knocking someone out of the title game because they lost to a top 10 team in a title game? They would never do that to the SEC. The question is, are the SEC and the Big Ten the two conferences that get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that? We had Josh Pate on, and he believes it's possible because of the hammer that the SEC is holding over college football's head, that if you don't give us what we want, we will be petulant children and go break away and decide national championships don't really matter anymore, and we'll just play for the conference. It'll be very similar to what the big clubs in European soccer tried to do when they wanted to keep all the money and go from qualifying and the Champions League stuff to making it more of an invitational, where if you have a big name like Arsenal or Bayern Munich, you are always going to be part of this club where you're going to make a lot of money to play these games. And sure, we'll crown someone the winner, but it won't be merit-based. It'll be about what you are as a brand. And that is what the SEC threatened back in 2022 before they expanded the playoff and got favorable conditions. They said they were going to break away because people walked away from a potential deal. Here's a quote from Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. People called me, this was after the latest deal, and said, "Why did you take a hard line? Why did you put us in this position?" He said, You guys walked away from the deal. That's the type of stroke they have. That's the type of power they have. Don't play with us. Give us what we want, or we will change the entire complexion of what college football is. I almost don't believe it that they would do this, but then I'm probably just naive. Are they willing to forgo something they always have leaned on? We're the best league in the country, and we prove it by winning national titles, to just become a group unto themselves, or maybe they add a couple of teams that they think are relevant and can help the brand from the Big Ten and the ACC, and it becomes just this maybe 35 to 40 team invitational, if that many, and they break off and start their own thing. I don't know if it'd be the death of college football, but it would definitely change the way all of us have grown up watching it. Like, it has changed a lot since I was a kid, but to think that we would have a separate division within the top division of the sport, we don't have a national champion at that point. Whatever they would want to call their champion is one thing, and then the rest of the country would have to deal. And maybe there'd be some cross games where they each play each other for TV money and stuff, particularly if there's some big name teams left out of their new group. But man, it ain't the death of the sport, but it would hurt the sport that I love pretty greatly. So we'll see. We'll see if the committee gives one of those SEC teams a spot to avoid what they might think is a potential disaster. And can we please just act like adults? I know the SEC cares a lot about their position, but can we look at what's happened this year? And are you really going to stump for a team like Bama, who's lost to Vanderbilt in Oklahoma, or a team like Ole Miss? Now Florida's playing better, but they lost to an average Florida team, and they lost to Kentucky at home. Is this the year for that? You're going to be, at least in public opinion, on shaky ground, I think, but they probably don't care. As long as the money rolls in and they think they can get away with it, they will use it, I think, as leverage. I hope rational minds prevail, and they go, you know what, not this year. Maybe in another year. Maybe when Ole Miss has two losses, or Alabama has two losses, we'll try to use the power play. But not this year. We'll let it go. This ain't the year for it, because even we don't think our teams are deserving. I know. I'm deluding myself with that one. Someone wants to talk Alex Cross. I'm watching that show. I think I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in. We'll get to that when we come back in the second hour. As I said, if you want to get in on anything, even TV shows on Prime that not a lot of people are watching, you can do that. We'll get to Alex Cross when we come back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.